It's been our joy to be able to serve in Romania these past 17 years. So we're there for the long haul. So we appreciate your longevity as well, sticking with us and helping us along the way as well. We were challenged in the video there to how are we investing our lives? How are we, and what are we investing to make an eternal difference in the lives of others? And if we were to turn to Matthew 25, we find a challenge there to us today. And that challenge is one that is very real and very pertinent to our day and age today. If we were to study the whole passage, I would like to do that, but we can't. Not enough time. If we look, we will see before the parable of the talents, which starts in verse 24, chapter 25 in Matthew's Gospel, we will see that the parable of the 10 virgins is before that. And what follows that is chapter 26, which talks about the judgment. Well, the parable of the 10 virgins, the main idea is, are you ready? Are you ready when the Lord returns? He's coming. He's coming again, but we don't know when. And the idea is, are you ready? So we have that parable. Are you ready? We have that idea. And then after that, we have the judgment in verse 26, when Christ comes again and he judges those who go to heaven and those who go to hell. There's going to be a judgment. And in between, are you ready? And the judgment, there's this period of time which this parable deals with. It's what are you doing with what the Lord has given you in the in-between time? The time in between, are you ready? And the judgment. How are we investing our lives? What are we doing with what he has given us? So this is what this parable is all about. And it's quite an interesting parable, as we'll find out. So if we go to verse 14 and 15, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." So we see that in these two verses that there are servants that were entrusted with the master's property. He was going on a journey, and therefore he needed someone to care for his possessions, his property, while he was gone. So he entrusted that to his servants. Some received more responsibility than others. We see one received 5, another one received 2, so they received much, but there was another one who didn't receive a whole lot. But there's an important reason why. If we look at verse 15, in the middle it says that he gave each one according to his own ability. The master knew his servant. He knew his servants and what they were capable of. This word means the ability to be able to accomplish a particular task. He knew what servant was capable of taking care of which of his possessions or his property. So he knew them. And the Lord also knows us. He's also entrusted us with a lot of things. He's entrusted us with time, with money, with resources. He's given us spiritual gifts and talents. He's given us many things that we are to administer while we're here on earth. We're to do something with these. We're to invest these for him. So, not all of us are equally gifted. Some of us are more gifted than others, but that's okay. That doesn't mean that those who are more gifted get to do all the work, which it seems like they do get most of the work. And those who aren't gifted as much, well, we get the rest, right? No, we give it to them. They're more capable than we are. They're better trained. They're more capable. But no, the Lord has given each one of us what we are able to administer. So we're to invest what he has given us in the way that he has entrusted it to us. So what he has given me, the responsibilities that I have in Romania, aren't the same responsibilities he gives you here. I am held responsible for how I serve the Lord in Romania. You are not. I am. It's a responsibility he's given me, something he's equipped me for, and I'm going to answer for that. Not you. There's those of us, if we're not as talented as others, that might say, well, you know, I'm not that great. I can't be as good as those who sing up front, and don't ever let me do that. I'm not gifted in that way. But the Lord doesn't, I'm not responsible for that. I'm not gifted that way. And it's okay. But I'm still responsible for what the Lord has given me to administer that. Because I am held responsible for that. You are responsible for that. So that leads us to the next number of verses. And if we look at verse 16 and 17, we get to understand how the servants served their master while he was gone. Verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. He doubled what the master had given him. So he worked hard. He was diligent. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. So we see that these servants worked hard with what they had. They were diligent. They took what was entrusted and they continued on with it. The same is true for us today. The Lord has given us many things. He's given us time. And as I thought about this, what am I doing with my time? I don't know about you, but when I'm preparing messages and studies and doing my work, I have to research certain things. So sometimes I get on the internet and I'm researching this particular thing, and that's great, and I'm copying that over and I'm making sure I have that recorded, and I get on, oh yeah, I have to do that too. I forgot about that. So I get on and I start researching that as well. And then that gets me onto something else, and the next thing I know, this has absolutely nothing to do with what I was doing. Have you ever been there? Yeah, you know how it is when you do... Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, there's nothing there, but it's just the idea. Now, where was I anyways? We get interrupted, don't we? By other things. We get distracted. We end up doing things that we really don't need to do with the time that God has given us. So I'm there with you. I understand what it's like to get distracted. And this can be a major contributor to the distraction from what the Lord really wants us to do with the time that he has given us. So, yeah. Same thing goes with life. Like, what are we doing with our life? Are we living our lives according to our purpose, the way that we want to live? Are we exercising our wills? Are we fulfilling our dreams for our lives? Or are we fulfilling what the Lord has for us? There can be a difference. And sometimes it can be hard to distinguish between the two. Is this what the Lord wants me to do, or is this what I want to do? Because I really feel passionate about this. Well, there is a difference there. And we need to distinguish between the two of those. So, what are we doing with our life? What is the purpose of our life that keeps us going forward? Is that purpose in our life that keeps us going forward that we would get better marks, that we'll be the best of our class, that we'll be able to get a good job when we get out of university? If we're working to get that promotion, is that what we're working for? Is that what we're aiming for? Is that our goal? If it is, maybe we need to rethink that. Is that really what the Lord has for us? Usually as you climb up the corporate ladder, the more time that you do not have for the rest of your life. And the Lord wants us to live a balanced life a balanced life between work and family, recreation, time with Him. So we need a balanced life. That is what He wants for us. So we're to be busy doing what He wants us to do with the life that He's given us. He's given us resources. How are we using those resources? See, this passage has more to do than with just money. It has to do with the books that are on our shelves. It has to do with what's in our pantry, whether we give that to others or we keep it for ourselves. What do we do with that? See, the Word of God is just not dry. It is not just, you know, something that is theoretic. It actually impacts our lives. And that is the point of this passage, is what are we doing? How are we serving the Lord with what He has given us in that in-between time before the judgment? How are we serving Him? Well, we'll get to see how the servants served Him and the evaluation that He gave them. Now, I've skipped over the one that had the one talent because I'm saving him for later because he's a peculiar sort, he is. So we see in verses 20 and 21 and 23 are exactly the same. And this is when the one who had the five talents is being evaluated for what he's done. He said, his Lord said to him, the one who had the five talents, well done, he says in verse 21. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Interesting. We see the evaluation. We see that the servant who received the five and the two talents knew what his master expected of them. Because what was his first words? Well done! Good job! Way to go! Yeah! You did it! Well, why would he say that to them if they didn't perform in the way that he expected them to? And they knew what was expected of them. And they performed that way. They worked hard for their master when he was gone. Because they knew he was coming back. And they wanted to be busy doing what they were responsible for because they will have to answer for it. So we see from the passages, well done! You did a good job. They knew what he wanted. Good and faithful servant. They were good. They followed the servant, the Lord, and they were faithful. In other words, they stuck it through to the end. They didn't quit halfway through. They didn't have a good start. They finished the task. They didn't just start and leave it for something else. So, seeing as they were faithful, he says, you were faithful over a few things. Again, the word faithful comes out. I will make you ruler over many things. Because you are faithful with a few things, you've proven yourself to me, I'm going to give you more things. And that is going to come with another reward. So either part of their reward is that they are responsible for more. They were given more responsibility. And that happens with us. The more that we're proven faithful and people have trust in us, the more that we're entrusted with, the more responsibility we have. And that is something good. That is what the Lord expects. And then also we see another part of the reward that these servants get. And that is enter into the joy of your Lord. In other words, this is heaven. We know that heaven is waiting for us. That is why we're working diligently for the Lord while He is gone. He is coming back. Amen? Amen. When? I don't know. But I do know that I have to be working hard in order to hear those words. Well done. Good job, Mike. You did what I asked you to with what I gave you. He doesn't expect from me more than what He's given me. He doesn't expect more from you than what He's given you. So we can't compare ourselves with one another. Well, because I'm not like so-and-so, what can I do? No. We each are responsible for what we have been given. Now, this enter into this joy, this heaven, is going to be joy. But it's not going to be a regular joy that we know here on earth that, yeah, that's great. You know, you have joy for a while because something good happened, and then after a while, where's that joy? Gone. Right? Yeah, nod your head like this, yes. Yeah. You know what it's like? That joy soon fades away. But heaven is not going to be like that. Heaven is going to be extreme. It's going to be extreme joy. There is not going to be a moment when it is going to diminish or fade. It is going to be extreme joy all the time. It's going to be fresh. It is going to be exciting. This extreme excitement is going to be forever. There's never going to be a point when it's going to fade away and become something usual, something boring, something run-of-the-mill. No. It is going to be extreme. And I can't wait to get there. But I can't shirk any responsibilities either. So, let's get to this guy who had the one talent. Now, the one who had the five and the two talents, I believe, were true believers. And, you know, they went to heaven. And then you get to verse 24. Then he would receive the one talent and came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. If you were serving in that day, I think you'd have quite the nerve to say this to your master, who's providing you with food, clothing, and shelter. He has the right to do what he pleases with you. And if you talk this way, disrespectfully to him, yeah, it's not going to be pretty. But he lays it on the line. And he says, verse 25, and I was afraid. And what did he do? He dug a hole and he hid what was his master's. So when his master came, here, it's yours. Take it with it, do with it what you want. You gave it to me, I give it back. Whatever. You know, I don't know many of you here. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know if you are like this servant who thinks that God is unfair, that he's a God that allows bad things to happen to good people, to innocent people. I don't know if you think that. I don't know if you think that God is somebody who is waiting for you or someone else to mess up and poof, bolt of lightning, puff of smoke, that kind of a thing. That is what I see from this servant who says, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. In other words, you're not fair. I don't know where you are. I don't know the questions you have. I don't know your relationship with the Lord, if you have one. I don't know. You do. But the reason I say that this one is an unbeliever is because of the response of the master to him. Yeah, okay, if you knew, he says in verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You know, so it's the exact opposite of what the other two servants were. You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. If you knew that, why didn't you do something? Good question. A little passive-aggressive thing going on here? Don't know. But that doesn't mean that's who he's like. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Now, why do I say this guy is an unbeliever? Thinking that God is unfair. He's cruel. We have to go down to the last verse, verse 30, to find that out. His judgment is, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus uses this expression in parables, it is referring to hell. Entering into joy is entering into heaven. This place of darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth is hell. Where those people who don't understand who God is or misunderstand who God is, a God who isn't there for them on their terms when they need him, and think that he's unfair and distant and cruel, or just don't have time for him, or just don't care. Their end, maybe your end, I don't know you, is going to be hell if you think God is that kind of a God. If you are trying to get back at God because you think that he's cruel, that he's not fair, because he doesn't do things the way you think are good and right, and you're trying to get back at him, the only person that you're going to ultimately hurt is yourself. And the ultimate place you're going to be is a place of torment. The word is actually torture. In hell, forever. I do not want that for you. I don't think there's anyone here who would want that for you. If you think that God is unfair, that he's cruel, please talk to me. Talk to somebody here. And we will be able to show you that he is not like that at all. He is a good God. So please, talk to us. So this last servant is not one that we want to be a part of. We want to be like the other two who are serving God faithfully with what he has given us in that in-between time with our life, with their resources, with our time, with our talents, with the spiritual gift or gifts that he's given us, so that we may hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. Lord, we are thankful for you. We're thankful that you're a God who does work, who does fulfill his promises, and we can see that clearly through your word. And Lord, I ask that you will continue to help me to remember, to analyze my life, to see if it is the way that you would have it, if I am serving you the way I need to serve you, if I'm getting off track, Lord, I pray that you will help me understand that, either through your word or through your people. And Lord, I pray the same for my friends here. Lord, I do pray that you will be at work, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those who are around us. So I pray that you will find us faithful servants for you. And Lord, I'm thankful that you're the one who has made all of this possible, and that one day we can be with you, and we're thankful and grateful. In Jesus' name.